Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of That 80s Child Generation Why, where we take a deep dive into the trends, culture, and nostalgia of the 80s and 90s. I'm Gabrielle, and today we're plugging in and pressing start on a topic that had kids lining up with quarters in hand and gamers staying up late into the night. We're talking about the golden age of arcade and video games, from the iconic Pac-Man and Donkey Kong to the revolutionary home consoles like Nintendo and Sega. We'll explore how these games shaped our childhoods and left a lasting impact on the gaming industry. So grab your joystick and get ready for a blast from the past. I know I've already done an episode. This is way back into the first season of That 80s Child that was the evolution of gaming. So I think I touched more along the lines of the consoles and the games that are on the consoles, what I played, my favorite ones on there. But I think instead of going all the way up until like current time, and I also did, if you were interested in, I have a YouTube channel that, well, if you're listening to this off of YouTube, then yeah, you know that it's called the 80s, That 80s Child. And I did a live with my son, who we did like a back and forth on current gaming versus retro gaming. And the funny thing is that I find that a lot of kids nowadays, or maybe not kids, but like within my son's age, he's going to be 18. So he's not a kid, he's going to be an adult. He really likes the retro gaming, like the, as in like, we say, he says retro gaming, we say retro gaming, I guess, but in the end, it is our gaming that we, sorry, I like to fiddle around with things while I'm talking, so that's fun. It's so funny to see that or hear when the kids are like, oh my God, like that's so old, and it doesn't feel like that old, but I guess it would be, you know, along the lines of, it is old. Like 40 years old, some of this stuff. It's crazy. I'm 41. I'm old. But I think I glossed over like the arcade gaming, and I kind of wanted to go into that a little bit more. And so classify this as like a part two of the evolution of gaming, but let's just go with, I was trying to come up with some ideas, which by the way, I have. Okay, so just to kind of clarify a little bit of, I always ask, or I ask a lot, but I don't always, but if you guys have any recommendations as to what to talk about, and if I missed anything, if you want me to kind of deep dive into something else that was maybe glazed over in one of my previous episodes, please let me know. I was speaking to a Nick. Hello, Nick. How's it going? He wanted me to review a classic children's music album, which is actually a great idea to kind of go back. I listen to all types of music. Now, I don't. Maybe go back and see like the classic things that were for children specifically. You know, like our, you know, say like kindergarten, first grade ages, age groups. And there was, it's called Baby Beluga, which I actually started to listen to. I had to find it because I never actually heard of it before. So just so you know that I am going to get that review in, and I want to talk, and within that episode, I want to talk about some of the other children's albums that I might have listened to or that were popular back in the day. Yeah, so something like that. If you want to just have a, if you want something to be, you know, discussed, that would be a great. I would please just give me some sort of, you can message me. This was done. Nick messaged me through my Facebook page, and I created one specifically for the podcast. Otherwise, you can actually leave comments on Spotify through that. I believe you can do that through my website as well. But the Facebook page is pretty good because I get it on my phone if you message me. So yeah, just send over a message if you have anything new that you would like me to discuss, something that I might have missed out on, because, you know, like I led a fairly sheltered life. So I might have easily missed some things. Now, I know in long term, speaking about nostalgic things, especially about the 80s and 90s, while it'll never be old for us, there's only going to be so much that you want to listen to about, like, you can go back and re-listen to some of the other episodes, and there you go. You've got it, right? So that's all well and good, but the actual podcast needs to evolve with it. So I was thinking about utilizing the podcast as it is, because I am gaining some followers, which is great. I want to utilize that, obviously. If I'm growing some base, I want to keep it. So I would like to have, like, maybe a viewpoints of the... I wanted to say, like, viewpoints of a Gen or a Zennial, Gen Y. So I wanted to actually change... It'll eventually... I want to, like, to have other episodes that aren't specifically just... nostalgic things. I kind of wanted to discuss some stuff about family and utilizing the podcast on a more topical things that, you know, and anything. If you have any recommendations, please, just like I said, it doesn't even have to be about, you know, nostalgic things. This may be like thoughts on certain stuff. Now, try and think of it on like bar rules, you know, politics and religion. You know, I can discuss religion, actually. I don't really have too much of a problem with that, but there's really like hot button topics right now that, especially in the political arena and the, I would just say like the way everything is going right now, it's very dividing. So let's just keep it light, shall we? All right, so diving into this episode. So thank you so much for listening to that ramblings of 8 minutes of, I don't even know if half of it's going to be in here, so I might cut a lot of it. When I was, probably from the moment I was born, but let's say like when I was really small and before my brother was born, so before 89, my dad and my mom would go down the shore, if you're in Jersey, and it would be Atlantic City because, you know, my dad, it was old school. Atlantic City was the place to go. He loved the casino. And the biggest one that he went to, because it was built and opened in 83, was Showboat, which unfortunately is no longer, it's there, the building is there, but it's not Showboat. It's a shame, actually. But anyway. We would be there all the time, like, or not all the time, but, you know, like, it would, if we ever went down, it would be at the Showboat. And so when we would go down, it's like, well, what did you do? You were like, what, 2, 3, 4 years old? Back then, they had, so you had your casino floor, and it was, you saw all the retirees, because that's, you know, they would shuttle all of them, all the pensioners down, so they can, you know, have their couple of days of gambling. You know, living a carefree life. Like, I don't have enough money to gamble right now. And I will never be a pensioner because I don't have a pension. So, woo! Anyhow, so we would be down there. So what would I be doing? So my dad would go and be on the casino floor. My mom would take myself. And then eventually when my brother was born, we would go within Showboat. They had a bowling alley. And along the bowling alley was an arcade. Now, a really awesome arcade. So just think of it. It's actually kind of funny. If you think of it along the lines of if you guys are younger and you like the Five Nights at Freddy's type of stuff, minus the, you know, Chuck E. Cheese type of like animatronic thing, because I thought they were terrifying back then. It was like that. You had your bowling alley, or you had like something going on when you can get food, pizza, and all that lovely stuff, and then the arcade, right? In the arcade in Showboat, they had your basic, like, you know, some pinball, ski ball, and like some other types of like claw machines and all that. I remember specifically I remember kind of very little, at least when it comes to the Showboat arcade. But I do remember when I asked them, like, where did that arcade go? And they had shut it. And I'm like, but what about the family? You got kids, you know. But the whole of the boardwalk besides Showboat had, you know, obviously things for children as well. So there was like just a whole area that was just, I think it was called the Three Sisters. So apparently, I'm really out of the loop with this, but there's a thing called Lucky Snake Arcade and Sports Bar at the Showboat currently. So they repurposed the casino floor, which, by the way, when just side note, when we actually were down the shore at the time when the Showboat had its last days open as a casino. Harrah's Showboat, they closed it, and it was very, very sad. But when we went back and they had opened it up as like just a like a hotel, no casino, they had like emptied out the whole casino floor of all of the the slot machines and, you know, whatever was there, the roulette, everything was gone off the casino floor. Except they had like the cage cashiers, so that thing was still there. The lights, some of the promotional lights for the different types of slot machines was still there and still on. So you were able to walk through it. So you have to figure, like, you're coming from a point where even when I turned 21, I really didn't gamble. Like when I turned 21, like, we did go in. I did do that. I think I lost like $20. I never really gambled. I wasn't like my dad. I really didn't go on the casino floor because I was always too young. And, you know, you always had, when we would walk through the Showboat, it would be the guards on each of the entrances to make sure, like, people, like, of underage, you know, weren't going through. And I always thought that if I just stepped across where that different pattern of carpeting, I would get arrested. It was an odd feeling being able to just go walking into it, and one with no machines. It was so eerily quiet as well, because you have to figure, like, you would just hear all of the dingings and the money coming through, or the coins, whatever it was. Like, now they don't even have. I did go with my friend one time. We went to a casino and I actually won some money, which was kind of cool. It's a cool feeling, but don't let it get to you, okay? And they don't have like the money coming out, or the coins or something like that, like the tokens that you have, because like my dad would have like the chips. My dad was classified as like a high roller, it wasn't like millions of dollars. It was just because my dad was there every Thursday. My dad was retired, okay? And he's from an older generation, Social Security, he had a good pension and whatever. So I was at school, and I told you my dad was older. He would go down to on Thursdays, it was like a thing. Because I remember specifically, they were late coming home one time, and I didn't know where they were, and I was so scared. And this was before cell phones. When I was little, I came home off the bus, and I'm like, where is my parents? Anyway, then they came home, and paranoid. Like, people back in the day would probably, like, even at the age that I was, and I was older, you know, I'm not saying like I was a teenager, but I was like, I want to say I was like 12 or something, and I was like, oh my god, you know, what happened to that? It's just, I was stupid, overreacted about stuff like that. But anyhow, back to what I was saying, arcades. Now, there was a place that I believe it was called the Three Sisters, and I believe it was owned by an Italian. This is what I was looking up specifically. I just found out that the Showboat has that on there. There's going to be a Dave and Buster's, or is it already open? Who the heck knows? Because it's not as though I am in the loop with this. I can't remember. I believe that's what it was called, but it was an arcade, just specifically on the boardwalk, right? Atlantic City boardwalk. So we would go there when we, you know, like I said, my dad would be there a lot of the time on Thursdays. So he was classified as a quote unquote high roller because he poured quite a bit of money in there, but he also won quite a bit of money back out. He was a lucky individual, and he would get comped for rooms. And sometimes they would even get upgraded to a suite. We were fancy. We were fancy schmancy people. No, we weren't. It's just, my dad was very lucky, and I rode that wave of luck until he was no longer around. When my dad during the day would be in the casino, my mom, myself, and my brother would be on the boardwalk and walking, and me complaining, like, are we there yet? Like, my feet are hurting. Because it was like, you know, depending on how far down you would walk, and we would go from the Showboat, because at the time that was pretty much the end of where the casinos were on the one end, and then you went all the way down to where, like, I think Tropicana and Bally's or Caesars. So that's the one that's further down. Like, we would go from one end to the almost one end to the other, because there was still more beyond, but we didn't go beyond at one point. So you had the Steel Pier, which was at the time near where the Taj Mahal was. Then we had further down, all the way down to like where the Warner Brothers store used to be. If you guys actually went into the Warner Brothers store down in Atlantic City, I believe what's there now, it was like, it still has the Rainforest Cafe, but if you went past the Rainforest Cafe, there was a Warner Brothers store. I missed that. I really enjoyed that. My mom would always get keychains. It was like our, it was like a collection amongst other things, but the keychains were, and we still have a few of them. My mom specifically loved Marvin the Martian. Anyhow, so there was Ocean One, which in, so you had that arcade there. I think there was a couple of them, but it was the Three Sisters. That was the biggest one that we would go to. And we would always go in, and it would be your classic arcade. And I would be playing like the quote unquote slot machines for children. So I was gambling too. While my dad was gambling real money, I was gambling my mom's money for fake coins so I can get a really expensive stuffed animal. So that was pretty cool. But the biggest thing for me as a, you know, semi-gamer, because I can't even call myself a gamer anymore. I very rarely game anymore, and it's sad, actually, would be when we got to Ocean One. Not only did they have an awesome arcade all the way at the end, but they had these really cool, like, it was like a mall. Ocean One was a mall. It had all different tchotchke stores. They would have a bookstore in the back. My mom would always have a book, and there would be a KB Toys, so that my brother and I would usually, I would get like maybe a Game Boy game. It depended on how good we were, and sometimes we would just, you know, get some cheap thing or whatever. At the very end, and then they had like a food court. We'd have something to eat to sit and chill, and me not to be complaining about my feet hurting. And then at the very end of Ocean One was, and that was out in the lake, you know, because you're on a pier, you're at the very edge where you're in the water at that point in the ocean, and it had a really awesome arcade. There was a shooting gallery with these scary animatronic thingies, so I guess that was my equivalent of animatronics. So I never really went to Chuck E. Cheese's or anything like that, but there you go. There was my equivalent of the animatronic thing, so you can just shoot them up. It was like a little bar saloon. It was awesome. Then my brother and I would play these, the ones that if you put the coin in and it would push the coins out, you could do that. Then there was the ones where it's the same thing, but it would have like jewelry in it. I have a picture of my brother somewhere that he had like these gold. I don't think it was real gold. Who knows? I can't remember. But he had the gold chains around him with his like puffer vest that he had on. Oh my god, it was funny. I have to find that somewhere. Maybe I'll include that on the podcast cover for this episode. But they had like, they redid that arcade a couple of times. Half the time that gallery wouldn't work properly, although it was pretty neat. They had the air hockey. They added those in a little bit later. But I think my favorite thing that they put in eventually, like while I was like, they actually put in during the 90s, was this carousel. And I don't know if I discussed this in any other episode. If you are a fan, please, I can't remember everything that I've said in the, I don't think that I talked more about like arcadey types of things, but if I did, there we go. It was a carousel of claw machines. So all the way around in this carousel that you could stand on, and it would be moving like a carousel while you can pick whatever type of claw machine. Now, what is funny, okay, and I, you know, a little off topic here, but it is a game, but it's a current game. It's a current mobile game because I'm a sad person. It's one of those dating games. It's called Love in Deep Space. Oh my god, the graphics on those things, if they could only be real, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, in the game, it's a Japanese game. And so they have, you know, things of the culture that is, you know, popular over there. And apparently claw machines are like a huge thing. And I love claw machines. And I used to be an expert. I was the one to go to if you wanted something specific for these claw machines. I would get it for you. So I need to go to Japan. I just found that out. In the game, in the mobile game, you have to, with the whomever you're, you know, talking to, whatever, would go and have go in to do this claw machine. You get points and you get to, and I'm like, you can have that character get it for, like, or your you, if you're playing, you know, whatever, to try and get the plushies, as they say. And I find it kind of juvenile within the game personally, but I don't think I would turn down a date at a claw machine arcade, you know, honestly. But anyhow, they have, you get points, and it's funny that I'll like let that character do it, and they won't be able to catch anything. So I was like, oh, you know, you're ruining my three chances I get to have this to get something. And so I'll switch, or I'll start first, because I know that they suck at, you know, getting it. And I'll be like wiping the floor with them. I mean, like, here's all of our 10 plushies that I got because I'm awesome, even as in a digital realm. Okay. So claw machines, love them. And I loved this carousel in Ocean One. And you just go around, and it was like one of my most favorite things to do. But besides that, I know that they, like, I feel like arcades have gotten, like, I know they have Dave and Buster's. I've walked through a Dave and Buster's, but I've never actually been in there to play or to participate in said, you know, arcading. But what I've seen is, like, the digital stuff, some of the mobile games made into arcade games, you know. There's a certain, as much as it is technically like an arcade, right? It has games that you can win tokens for to whatever. So that, you know, the concept is there. And of course, they always have skee ball. It's like a staple. But the skee ball that I played was with, like, a wooden ball. Okay. It was old school. And I don't know what it was. There was just a certain smell to the skee ball. There was a certain smell to the arcade. Could have been just like kid pee. Who the heck knows? But with that, it is, you know, that's the nostalgia of it, right? You're reliving that joy that you had in the arcade. So besides the claw machines and going for the skee ball and whatever, they also had, as the years progressed, because, you know, you're trying to bring in, keep the kids coming in, because they're, you know, the rise of mobile gaming, like whether it be Game Boy, Game Gear. And eventually it would have, like, well, obviously all the evolution of the Game Boy. So you have, like, Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Pocket, Game Boy SP, Game Boy Advance. And then it went to the DS and all that. And now we have the Switch, right? The arcades, at least for that time, now we're trying to bring it back because, you know, we're getting older and we miss that stuff. But we were, you know, evolving out of the arcade because we were having more of the fun minus winning, like, tokens. And there is a difference, but we were playing more to ourselves or at home or, you know, with people at our houses, you know, with the consoles and handheld stuff, right? So what I was just reading about Penny Arcades. If when I'm editing, that's what I was looking at. It's Penny Arcades, and it says murder in the museum. Who killed the man in the chair? To find out, please put one penny in the slot. I would love to watch that, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, so the arcade was evolving as well. They were trying to bring in more games. So you had, like, Mortal Kombat, right? You had Street Fighter. You had Tekken. And you would have your, you know, Pac-Man if you wanted to go, like, older school at the time. So they brought in something, things that were a little bit more tangible, I guess you can say. So you had the birth of, like, the 3D animation, and they also had, like, these holograms. And in this arcade, and I never actually played it because it was expensive. I don't know what expensive was for me at the time because I was making no money. I was a child. But anyway, it was expensive to play it, or half the time it wasn't working. But it was a 3D, it was like almost like a real 3D projection hologram thing. That was, it's almost like in the Star Wars, just help Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope, like that. And it would have, like, I think they had, like, dinosaurs and stuff like that in there, and you would control the 3D character in the hologram. And then they had a like a pop-up type of store where it was people testing out virtual reality. when they had these huge helmety things on and you had to be in like a predetermined circle so you wouldn't like, you know, fly out of anything. And if you ever watched the movie Lawnmower Man, you know what the virtual reality world would look like. It was not as like, it's not sophisticated like it is now, obviously. But it was the first prototypes to what we're using now. So it's funny to look back or think back. I wish we could look back, as in like popping in a VHS tape and press play of our memories, because there are some things that I know for sure it's in there somehow. And I don't know what it is, what it's called, but trying to explain it is hard. But anyhow, so they had those 3D animations, and then they had like the, what was it for? The Addams Family for Fester. It would like electrocute you, which they still have those things around, so you had to hold on to it. Now, the funny thing is, the one time my mom tried it, but she was wearing rings. And she held on and she got zapped. Like it does have a warning for people who have like a pacemaker or heart problems that like not to use it. But that's kind of, I don't even, do they still have those things out, or have they like toned it down a bit? Because I don't know. They also had the machines, like if you ever watched the movie Big, yeah, that fortune teller machine called Zoltar. So they had something like it that would have like, you know, a half bodied person talking, and it would give you like a prediction, and then your zodiac or whatever, and your lucky numbers. It would have something like that on there. So they would have that. They would have your basic pinball machines. I want to have, I know there's like a pinball arcade in Philadelphia somewhere. I think it's called the Barcade, actually. Apparently, Showboat has a whole pinball area now. Didn't realize. I didn't know. I have to go there now. Then you would have your, there was like an area of the arcade. So for me, visualizing it, let me try and explain it to you. So you're going into Ocean One. If you've ever been to Ocean One, or if you've never been to Ocean One, it is just like, imagine a pier, a building that's on a pier, and you're going from the boardwalk into the ocean, and you're walking through, and it's just a mall, like a two, I don't think it might even had a third story. I think there was like an observation deck area. And it would just be like, it would be a mall. You have a bookstore, you have a clothing store, you have like a, one of them was like not a gambling store, but it was like they had sold like memorabilia from like old casino dice and like chips and stuff like that. And, you know, the Spencer's, and then you have like, you know, and then the arcade, and then your food court. So you're going into that. So when you're going to the arcade part, it is, so the building ends in like a half moon type of thing. So the arcade was that half moon, like, you know, going off into like a nice little arch, and you can look out the window towards the back and just see the ocean, which is really cool. But when you're going in, it's like you had two different sides that you can go into the arcade, and in the middle, so if you're going left or the right up the steps, in the middle is where the concessions, and where you would go and get your, you get your coins to play. Half the time it was all done by actual quarters. You just go to a change machine. It didn't actually have tokens. You actually used real quarters. I believe they did change it eventually to tokens, like a lot of places. I don't know why we can't just use quarters. I kind of miss that. There's like a certain type of sound that a quarter makes. You know, you can actually tell it. Side note, fun fact, you can tell when you have a silver quarter versus one that's clad. So you have some silver in it, but it's got nickel and copper and stuff in it on the newer ones, because it makes a different kind of ting when you put it down. So you have your normal change, but then if you hear something off, it could very well be. It's, if you have a quarter that's from 1965 or older, it's silver. It's just, that is what it was made out of, unless it's like, you know, pennies are copper, except for during the World War II, they had steel pennies, quarters. We need to use them again. When you would go up the steps, in the middle was the concession, and where you would get your change, coinage, or you could trade in the tickets that you would get from the particular games that you played that would give you tickets. And to the right is where the shooting gallery was. And it would just be within that alcove before, like, a line of doors that you could go out to the observation area. So it would be very bright back there, except for, like, if it was, like, a rainy day or whatever. And it would be, like, a cave over there because it was just where the shooting gallery took up a good portion of that one corner. And within where that was, there was a, that's where those drop arcade machines were, where you drop the coin and you're trying to push more coins out, or, you know, paraphernalia of some sort, like the gold chains that my brother won. And then you had, in that same area was the air hockey. And then you would have some other random, like, arcade games that were kind of, like, just strewn out here and there. And then you have, like, the drive-in games and the shooting games. Oh my God, what was it? The House of the Dead. House of the Dead, the shooter arcade. You would just, like, go in. My mom and I would play it. You're just shooting up zombies. My brother, I believe, would play as well. But he would usually be off doing whatever game he was playing at the time. But, yes, in the House of the Dead, we used to have that on... It's a Sega game. I think we had the House of the Dead on the Dreamcast. Because that's the only Sega console. I know. That's the only Sega console that I actually had besides the Game Gear. I didn't actually have any Sega consoles. We went from having the NES, the SNES. It's just Nintendo and Super Nintendo. Like, my son's was like, no, it's the NES or the SNES. And I'm like, is it? So, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, we did not have Nintendo 64, and then we had, like, the GameCube, and then the Wii, like, way later, though. We didn't have the Wii U at all, and then we have the Switch. So, I mean, we kind of skipped over a couple of things here for that, but because as soon as we got the PlayStation, the PlayStation was and is my go-to console game. Like, we have an Xbox 360. The newer edition Xbox 360, the black one. That's the Pro, I think it was. Yeah, that's it. That's all, you know, we had the original Xbox. That was my brother's. My brother was into the Xbox and the Xbox 360. But since my brother wasn't around after a certain point, we didn't go through the evolution of Xbox. We went through the evolution of the PlayStation. So we have the 1, 2, 3, 4 and the 5. And some variants in there too. So we would be playing House of the Dead. Now, I love that. And they actually had one that was the Typing of the Dead for PC, which I thought was hilarious. But so you can actually practice your typing if you want to play House of the Dead. So we would have those two games, the shooter games. Then there was, like, the racing games. And then it was the huge carousel. I can't remember what was there prior, because I love the carousel so much. So I figure, like, I guess the carousel will just be what it was. But I do know that it had, like, a skylight, and it would, like, shine down on the actual carousel. It was well placed. Off to the side of the carousel, there was the elevator going upstairs to the food court and all of that. And there was the 3D games that, like, had the hologram. They only had, like, one or two of those. And then the fester, like, the one where you're, like, getting electrocuted, was towards going back to where the concession stuff was. But for whatever reason, in my head, I can see all those other arcade games and I can see the carousel very vividly. But that left curve is just blackness in my memory, and I cannot remember what was over there. And unfortunately, like, I could ask my brother, but my mom would have been the better bet to ask, because she would have remembered. Well, she can't remember it now, but, or maybe she could. I just don't like asking specific. But anyway, so I can't remember what was over there. I know that there was I can remember all these other little details, but it was just, maybe it was just nothing interesting over there. I just feel like it was, like, those were the games I could care less about. I couldn't care less about. I know, you know, language there. For me, arcade and the shore, Atlantic City, pretty much are one and the same for me. while I did mention in my intro that, you know, bringing in Nintendo and Sega, I did. House of the Dead was Sega, and I was talking about the handheld games and stuff from Nintendo. Okay, so there. So I did talk about that. Arcade. You get your roll of quarters. You go and try and beat, like, Asteroid or Space Invaders or Pac-Man, which Pac-Man was I found it. I have it. The two-player Pac-Man handheld game that I had when I was little, I would always play. Found it at a antique toy place and bought it for fairly cheap, and it works. I mean, there's, like, I think there's a button on for player two is, like, a little funky. But it works, so, and it's memory unlocked. Yeah, arcade and Atlantic City and gambling all are hand in hand for me. So I might actually go, I'm glad I did this episode, because I might actually go back down to the Showboat and try out this this arcade that they got going on over there. I don't like a lot of people, so maybe I'll wait until it's winter time, because that's usually when it was the best, when nobody was there. But anyway, regardless, I've got other things I got to do, but that's on my list now. So I'm actually kind of excited about that. So other than that, that's really it. I just wanted to kind of go into, I kind of glossed over arcading after when I did the evolution of gaming. I feel like the arcade was kind of the epitome of gaming at the time. Until you were able to have, like, the at-home consoles and stuff like that. But it's just, like, the arcade was still, like, a big thing even in the 90s. Like, I still loved it. So, I miss it. I know that there are still arcades around, but they're not, it's just not the same. There are certain things that need to be, maybe for me, there are certain things that would need to be there. And, like, OG things. When it comes to, like, Dave and Buster's or something that's newer, it's cool. And they do have, like, a fun aspect to it. But I don't think that, it just doesn't have that same feeling. It just feels austere, less loving. I don't know. When it's all, like, that digital touchscreen stuff, it's just, like, can we just go back to having, like, some LED lights, some cool change sounds? Can we go back to quarters? There's something to say about that tangibleness, that, and I know we can be tangible with things nowadays, but when you're looking at an electronic, it's sleek, pretty, what would you call it? I'll say austere again, but it's like austere, it's sleek, it's just straight up, it's jagged. I don't know how to explain it. For me, when I think of electronics or digital, I just feel like it's spiny and, like, uncomfortable and hard, you know, like, I don't know. It could just be me. But when you're thinking of something nostalgic and you're thinking of, like, you know, the old skee balls with the wooden balls, you know, like, as I said, with the wooden ball, right? There's something to be said about that feeling, and the aesthetic. It's just a warmer feeling and comfortable. You know, like putting on, like, an overly used sweatshirt that's home, you know? So, I don't know. I'm just talking nonsense now, right? But, yeah, I just think that if they could... I've knocked this stupid cord on my microphone about 5 times, and I've had to edit the damn quietness out and see where I left off and if there's anything I had to add in here, which I probably will. Sorry, I need to get a new cord. No, I have the cord. I need the box. But anyway, so hopefully that made a little bit of sense as to why I think, you know, say newer arcades, unless they are, it's an arcade and they're bringing OG stuff in, that's different, especially when it's like a pinball specific. Oh my God, that's a different feeling altogether. But if you're talking about, like, OG stuff and you're bringing it into, you know, you opening up your own arcade, then that's something else. But when you're having, like, a date, like I said, a Dave and Buster's, I don't mean to pick on Dave and Buster's, but you'll have, like, the new touchscreen stuff. And it's like even the casino. It's like, can we bring back, instead of printing out, like, coupons, can we have, like, the coins coming out? I mean, knowing that I've won something, I want to hear it. Okay, there's something to hear. I know, like, anytime I won a jackpot in the arcade, I would get so flustered and anxiety ridden because it would make so much noise. And I'm like, can you make it stop right now? you need to make it stop. It's too loud, and I don't want... Actually, you know what? It wasn't me. It was my... See this person right here? I don't even know. They're the ones that actually won. I need to leave. So that's how I was. But yeah. So that's that. If you think I've missed anything, if there was something specific that you liked to play in the arcade, please comment. Let me know. Let me know if you're in the Jersey, Philly area and you know of like a really cool arcade too. I would love to check it out because... I have the time now, kind of. Now I have like a new job and all that, but you know, I will actually have money now. I'm not living off of nothing, air. So yeah, so thank you so much for listening to this and me rambling about nonsense. And I hope it kind of brought some like, you know, memories that might have been forgotten about, or, you know, maybe your time in the arcade, you know, or if you know Ocean One and you went there and you had forgotten some parts about it, hopefully maybe I could have sparked something there, or just, you know, reminisced a good part of life, you know. So thank you so much. Thank you for tuning into this episode of That 80s Child, the Generation Y. I hope you enjoyed our trip down memory lane to the arcades and video games that define the 80s and 90s. If you did, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your favorite podcast platform. Share your favorite gaming memories with me on social media and let me know which game kept you coming back for more. Until next time, keep those high scores up and remember, it's not just nostalgia, it's a legacy of a generation. And I hope you'll tune into the next episode, where the past is always present. Stay rad. See you in the next episode. Bye.